Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio, which is a service of the Telly Award-winning Close Up Television and Radio. Jim Masters here, a pleasure to welcome you from all around the world. Also, a pleasure to welcome back to Close Up Radio, Dr. Victoria Monlock. She's returned to Close Up Radio this fall to discuss her theories, case studies, and research into health and wellness solutions that can keep women and people in general, women and men really, more balanced, effective, healthy, and youthful at every age and every hormonal stage. In these weeks where we're chatting with Dr. Monlock, it's truly a pleasure. She's going to be speaking on topics like progesterone and its role in balancing women's health and wellness, postpartum depression, and the diseases of the female organs, endometriosis and fibroids and ovarian cysts and even uterine, ovarian, and breast cancer as well. So we invite you to stick with us because the conversations over the coming weeks are going to be informative, eye-opening, revealing, and authentic, as it always is when we have the good pleasure of having Dr. Monlock with us. Dr. Vicky, as everybody calls her. She will also be talking about the gap in women's health care and life expectancy and how more preventative and specialized care really bears on the statistics, particularly during the years that she's been an OBGYN. And we're talking about somebody who's been doing this for, you know, almost 40 years. She empowers patients so they work together on diagnoses, care, and treatment. Often the key is hormone balancing, since balancing, really, even herself, even the doctor, this is what's great about Dr. Monlock, she's done this herself, walks the walk, talks the talk, and that's why she's relatable to her clients and her patients. She looks much younger and is more vital than any true age would tell you. That's what Dr. Monlock says. And because she's experienced this herself, she wants to help other women take the same journey so they can be highly functional, comfortable, and valued throughout perimenopause and menopause. Dr. Monlock discusses much of this in one of the two books she has written about hormones in women's health titled Full Bloom. Beyond recognition from patients, we've mentioned too, and it's worth noting again that she's received many professional accolades, 4-star rated by U.S. News and World Reports and named Best in Medicine by the American Health Council, each honor for her achievements in women's health field. I got a chance to go to her practice twice on two separate occasions, based in Waukesha, Wisconsin, just west of Milwaukee, and see everything firsthand myself, see how she interacts with her patients, with the staff, what they have to say about her. And some of the patients, I have to tell you, they're brought to tears when they talk about Dr. Monlock because she really cares. She listens to what they have to say. She creates protocols and techniques and methodologies custom designed for each individual. She looks at her patients not as a collective necessarily, but as individuals. And that is something that is rare these days, but she's always done it. She takes the time. She doesn't know any other way, wouldn't want to do it any other way. I can tell you now, I've been there and I've seen her do her thing. And she's quite amazing. That's why it's always a pleasure to welcome her back to Close Up Radio. Dr. Monlock, thanks for joining us once again. As I said, always a pleasure to have you here, and looking forward to our new updated series as we continue on Close Up Radio.
Thanks, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, I really love these conversations because it's something that we can all learn from. And in this particular case, taking a look as we kick off this series, looking at the changing landscape of women's health and gaps. And this is really fascinating to me. Women's life expectancy has grown because of decreased maternal mortality in the last 30 years or so, which is really amazing to think about. Let's talk about how this has changed in the years since you've been in practice and over those years, Doctor.
Well, you know, it's both in the world of obstetrics and in gynecology or true women's health. And it's interesting to me because in the world of obstetrics, you would think that there's been a lot that's changed. You know, as little as the 1960s ago, we had religious, basically, bans on doing surgeries to deliver babies, like C-sections. It was something that was actually, in some religions, it was banned. And so if you had a baby and you went into labor, you might die in childbirth. And that was as late ago as the 1960s, but that's not that long ago. So the advent of being able to do safe obstetrics for both the mom and the baby is huge. And the ability to bring back the art of breastfeeding for the baby as well as for the health of the mom. And then we kind of morphed into elective C-sections for anybody that wanted them. We kind of swung the pendulum the other way. So the world of obstetrics has gone through quite a bit of change. Some, I will say, good. Some maybe less focused on the mom and more focused on healthcare dollars that are spent. But in the world of GYN, we still ignore the adolescent, and we still ignore women who basically need help with their hormone balancing. And we don't even address that as hormone balancing. We say, no, you have endometriosis, or no, you have ovarian cysts, or no, you have polycystic ovary, or we don't say this is hormone imbalance. We use a medical diagnosis and then cover it up with, well, let me just put you on the pill, and when you're ready to have babies, let me know. And so that, you would think, is a rather old-fashioned approach to women's health, but unfortunately it's an approach that's still going on in this country. And we've done such a great job in doing women's health screening. So it used to be the annual pap smear, but in the interest of insurance companies not wanting to have the burden of an annual cost of doing women's health, they've pushed that back to every 3 years. And now we're seeing an uptick in women's cancers and in other surgical interventions that might be needed, like pelvic floor prolapse or picking up of issues that are structural issues in the woman, because we're not seeing them except every 3 years, or in some cases every 5 years. Or in many menopausal women's cases, they're told, well, until you need your screening colonoscopy, I don't need to see you. So we'll see you in 5 years, 7 years. And to me, we're missing that opportunity to keep women at their best. Women really run the household, and they run it whether they're the mom, whether they're just the wife, quote unquote, and home, you know, working, raising children. But many women are also working, and they may be grandmothers and caring for other children as well as their own children. And there's a lot that women put on their plate, and to be told, we don't need to see you back, just more like a get out of my office, I don't need to see you, is almost the way women feel versus the annual exam the way it used to be. And it's changing. We're as doctors, being forced to put much more into that exam when we do see them, because we don't want to miss anything. And it just makes it perhaps a 2-year miss or a 3-year miss on something we could have been working on, like a pelvic floor prolapse, your bladder falling. We can work on that in time and over time versus find out two and 3 years later that that's what's going on, and now it's a hurry up and fix it, but it isn't a hurry up and fix it kind of problem. So so there's some good and there's some bad, if you will.
Right, exactly. And keeping it all straight is what you do, which I think is such a plus for your patients, you know, because there's so much to think about, and you have it sort of broken down in ways that they can understand, you know, and also apply to their daily living. How does poverty affect women's access to health care and their morbidity and private versus public insurance, doctors and hospitals and that whole ball of wax?
Well, let me break it down to the poverty and easy access for those who have insurance or have the means versus those who do not have the means. And again, take that aspect of the annual exam, just that aspect alone, and now you've pushed it to every 3 or 5 years. Well, the woman who has a difficult time with maybe lack of insurance or poor insurance that doesn't cover that, they're going to feel relieved that they're not being shamed into doing an exam, but by the same token, they're potentially going to have longer than their 3 or 5 years because of poverty, and so they will have even less access to their health care. And when you do see them, they're going to have more advanced issues going on. And it doesn't mean that the doc that sees them is going to do a bad job. We would only hope that doesn't happen. But you're seeing somebody that their issues are more advanced in between times that you have seen them. And if it's a poverty situation, you may not be seeing the same healthcare provider. And private versus public, well, that's always an issue of the haves and the have-nots. And so if it's a public institution and they've got a higher patient load than somebody in a private institution, or if a hospital has, you know, X number of people sitting in a waiting room at a clinic and you're going to be seen because you're there, then you're going to have less time with that healthcare provider than somebody potentially in a private system. And it doesn't always work that way. There are gems around the world and around the country that their public institutions seeing women who have, you know, less healthcare affordability than others who get very good care. This country prides itself in trying to make that an option for everyone, but it doesn't always work that way.
That's right, exactly. You know, what are some of the prevalent women's health issues, for instance, hormone imbalance, that you focus on specifically, and do they group based on a woman's journey through her 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question. This is kind of where my passion for my approach to women's health comes in, is that we have potential for hormone imbalance from puberty on. And one of the most forgotten women in this country for healthcare, and especially women's healthcare, is the adolescent. We completely ignore the fact that endometriosis doesn't start at age 35, ovarian cysts, or polycystic ovary. That doesn't start in childbearing years, in your late 20s, 30s. That's when women are actually asking why they can't get pregnant. So why doesn't this country address the potential of these diagnoses in adolescent years when they start? These diagnoses start from puberty on. And unless you're following what your hormone level trends are and balancing even in adolescence, then you've missed 10 years of what you could have had a head start on. And so the gold standard for any woman walking into a doctor's office with abnormal periods or cramping is either pain medication, or I'll put you on the pill, or I'll put you on a long-acting contraceptive, or, But nobody says, why don't we get to the root cause of why you're having what you have? Now, is it because docs aren't, you know, able to in their 3 to 5 minutes that they have with a patient? That's probably part of it. But it doesn't take much to say, let's check your hormone levels and send them for blood work. But nobody does it because we aren't teaching the medical profession what hormone balance is. Therefore, they cannot recognize hormone imbalance. And they simply say, well, the solution is the pill. And talk to me when you're ready to have your babies. Well, whoa, wait a minute. Women are delaying their childbearing many times until their mid to late 30s, even 40s. Now you've missed 20 years of knowing a woman's hormone balance or imbalance. She may have had breast cancer in there. She may have fibroids that are brewing. She may have issues that now they're a major issue, where if you would have caught it earlier, it's a minor issue. Then women in their 40s and 50s, perimenopause, menopause, and all of the hormone fluctuation that goes with that. And women are told, deal with it. Well, wait a minute. You're talking about changes month to month in concentration and sleep and hot flashes and fatigue that comes out of nowhere and PMS out of nowhere and bloating and headaches and migraines and hair growth on your face that should belong to a guy and now it's on your face. And it's just issues that when you bring it up to your doc, they go, oh, well, that's just all part of this. It'll pass. And the docs don't understand it, so therefore they push it off as it will go away. Then you get women in their 60s, and they've been menopausal for 10 years, and their issues are more of muscle mass loss and bone loss and dental issues and cardiac issues, because women are never told that hormone balancing and having proper hormone on board is actually cardioprotective, stroke protective, and even breast cancer preventive, but you have to balance the hormones. And women aren't told any of this. So if we can decrease stroke, decrease heart attack risk, which is research proven, by the way, not only in American but in European literature, then why is this such a difficult statement to say, let me balance your hormones? We know heart disease and stroke are the number one and two killers and morbidities in women and men in this country. So why don't we address the reason? No, we simply say that, well, let me look at your heart. Why don't we look at what keeps your heart healthy, which can be hormone balancing?
It's incredible. Really, really is. And as I say, you know, insightful and revealing, because a lot of times people don't know this, don't know that this, you know, they try all these other ways to combat the symptoms and sort of numb things, and they try every which way, and it turns out to be the hormones being imbalanced. And I think this is revolutionary, what you are doing, and I've said that multiple times. I think it's incredible. You know, in your part of the country where you are, there in the Midwest, do you find that women have as much access to care as in some of the metropolitan areas, New York, Los Angeles, other areas?
Well, I'm going to kind of stop you there for a second and say Milwaukee may not be a Los Angeles, but it's still a metropolitan area of 1.4 million. And Chicago is 90 miles to our south. Yes, we have a large rural population, but many states do. And it doesn't mean that our population has less access to good care. It simply means that women may actually need to seek that care more than if it's down the street, so to speak. But, you know, New York has rural areas too. So does California. So I think the better question that you're trying to ask is there a difference between urban suburban and rural healthcare and access. And I think that even though COVID was a horrible thing that happened to the world, what it taught us is that we can deliver good healthcare even remotely. And so if you do a telehealth visit with a patient or a telephone visit with a patient, I can order hormone blood work and balance them over a telehealth visit or over a phone visit and still offer the office discounts that are available in patients, whether they're physically in my office or remotely, you know, not in my office, they still can get their blood work done, even if I'm out of network, for a 90% cash discount, which is huge. Now, most docs don't have to worry about getting a program like that set up for their patients because their patients are in a geographic area that they come to the patient or come to the doctor. But what COVID has taught us is we can expand our virtual office, offer our same discounts. We simply have to be a little more creative how we offer that. And they can still use their primary if they're remote for their exam. But if you're doing a wellness approach with a patient and you're balancing hormones, not just female, male, but adrenal and thyroid and blood sugar and pancreas, then you are actually hitting the foundation of their health, and their wellness exam is going to be a much more pleasant experience, even if they're only seeing their primary once a year or twice a year, because balance the foundation and everything beyond that health-wise is going to behave better because you've got the foundation correct.
Bottom line, that word so important, the foundation, having the foundation correct. Absolutely. And as I said, I've been to Milwaukee. It's a great American city. Great ice cream, terrific beer, and those cheese curds. It's good stuff. I recommend folks visit Milwaukee and the greater Moorock area. Good people, too, like Dr. Monlock and her family. You know, I know you focus on the hormone connection. How do hormones impact women's health and life expectancy?
Well, the big thing everybody has heard for 20, 25 years is this myth of hormone causes cancer. And that could be, that can't be further from the truth. Hormone actually helps prevent cancer. I'm going to say that one more time because it sounds counter to everything every woman has ever heard, is that hormone helps prevent cancer. And it's going back to the hormone balancing. When a woman goes through menopause, still is making estradiol, the female hormone that hyperstimulates too much without having the balancing progesterone there. And if you can't balance out your female hormones, too much estradiol is what hyperstimulates a breast to a bad mammogram and cancer. It hyperstimulates an ovary to ovarian cysts, and that can progress to ovarian cancer. And it can hyperstimulate uterine lining to a bad, imbalanced lining and form polyps and form a hypertrophic lining, which then can lead to uterine cancer. So too much of an imbalance, and especially too much estradiol or estrogen dominance, can cause cancer. Now, we all know women can get breast cancer in their 30s. We know they can get endometriosis and uterine cancer and ovarian cancer even before menopause. Some of these may be genetic, but many of them are not. And so when I say genetic, the BRCA gene, which most menopausal women do with breast cancer do not have the BRCA gene. And that just flies in the face of everything that we're taught as the consumer out there. Well, breast cancer means you've done something wrong and it must be genetic. But it most of the time, it is not. It is hormone imbalance, and we miss that golden opportunity of being able to know our hormone levels and balance them so we prevent us getting into a pre-cancer or a cancer situation. And we were kind of led down the wrong pathway with the Women's Health Initiative, because that study only looked at synthetic and horse-based hormone in this country. It looked at Premarin, which is pregnant mare's urine, and PremPro, which is Premarin with a synthetic medroxyprogesterone acetate. They did not do the Women's Health Initiative on estradiol and progesterone, the human-based bioidentical hormone. The Europeans did. So therefore, the Europeans have totally different results in their research than the Americans did. And when the Americans said, well, okay, we'll do your way, we'll do it with the bioidentical estradiol and progesterone, guess what they found? The same results the Europeans found, which is that it decreased heart attack, it decreased stroke, and it decreased, or at least had minimal change in breast cancer incidence, but it increased a woman's longevity. So how can something that is so good for you in your puberty to menopause, we rely on it for childbearing, for everything female, how can it be so good for us and then suddenly be so bad for us? It's because the research looked at the wrong hormone and therefore gave us the wrong direction of what we do with menopausal hormone.
It's really important for people to understand that. You know, I want to make mention, too, of the website. Tell us the website people can go to if they'd like to learn more about the extraordinary work that you do, but also pick up copies of your books and other opportunities to connect with you and your practice.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah, the website is RHM, all small letters, but rhm.care, C-A-R-E, /VJ, my initials, Mondloch, M-O-N-D-L-O-C-H-M-D. Again, rhm.care/VJ Mondloch, M-D. And you'll see, as Jim mentioned, my books and how to get them from Amazon, our YouTube channel, which is called Hey Doc, What's Up? And they're 2 to 3 minute little vignettes to keep it short and sweet. It's the archives of the radio shows that I do locally and nationally. So a lot of really good information on there, as well as how to get a hold of us if your doc is uncomfortable doing your hormone balancing for you.
Our very special guest is Dr. Victoria J. Mondloch, Vanguard of Women's Health Care. And again, we encourage you to contact her and get an opportunity to really learn more about some of the topics that we're talking about in this exclusive series here on Close Up Radio. Dr. Mondloch, thank you very much for joining us on the show. These episodes always go by so quickly in a New York minute, but letting folks know that you will be back next week as well, same time, noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, and 9 a.m. Pacific for more conversation here on Close Up Radio. And we look forward to that. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Continue to have a terrific rest of your day as well. Again, folks, if you would like to make contact, we encourage you to do that. Go to rhm.care/VJ Mondloch, M-O-N-D-L-O-C-H-M-D. /. Jim Masters here, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, don't move an inch. I'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another incredible guest making our world a better place right here on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, be well, have a terrific day, and thanks for listening. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.